We're going to jump right into things this evening, and I did want to say, I failed to mention Sunday night. Brother Ceylon asked me to mention this, and so I'll probably take two laps on Sunday morning. But tithing records have been passed out, and if something doesn't look right on that, just let Ceylon said Catherine or Liel, did you work? I believe you did have a hand in that. So let one of them know. That's what he asked me to say on Sunday. If your tithing records doesn't look right, just get with them and we'll work it out. But anyway, David Barker's back in Kenistone, and I was on a texting. Group text with him, and he didn't look too aggravated to be there. But I think they've given him some medication. He has some heavy medication, and anyway, I'm not going to get into all what I told him back to him. It seemed like he was rejoicing. Well, I guess you are rejoicing if you're in pain and you take it. But anyway, as far as rejoicing, anyway, let me just move on. Let me move on from that. The point is, I believe he has pancreatitis, and so they got him comfortable. He'll be there overnight, maybe a couple nights, but I think they got it under control. And so let's do remember him. He was just in there a couple of weeks ago. And so Brother David Barker, Brother Leonard had a bad toe surgery or toe encounter at the doctor. I don't know how else to say it. Miss Dolores sent me a message and said it was just dreadful. He went because of his toe. I believe arthritis has his toes kind of going in downward like that. And he is not a diabetic, she said, so it's nothing related to that. But he's at home. He's doing okay. But he has more appointments about his toe. So a toe is a little member of the body. I'll tell you what. Toes hurt just like fingers hurt. And I get a little cut on my finger, and I'll tell you what, it drives me crazy. But we'll remember the Palmers tonight. Miss Claudia's cousin, he's not doing good, not doing well at all, actually. A lot of things going on with him. Miss Claudia says she's watching tonight. I want to say hospice care, nursing home, something like that. Forgive me, Miss Claudia, if I'm wrong about that. But nursing home, okay. And so closely related but different. Let's pray for him that God will touch him. And then what about Matt's dad, Miss Glenda? Kind of waiting. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Praying for him for sure. Also heard that Jim Carmichael had a seizure. So let's remember him in prayer. Miss Helen Bennett. The surgery date was given wrong on Sunday. Her surgery is not until the 30th. And so Brother Larry told me that it was given wrong on Sunday. Her surgery is on the 30th, Miss Helen Bennett. And, all right, we'll read off our others as we normally do. Our children's home, Chuck Prestridge was here Sunday, doing good. Praise the Lord for that. Miss Mary Ann's here, doing good, with a cane, not the walker. Praise the Lord for that. And today is James Townsend's birthday. So if by chance they're watching, happy birthday, Brother James. We love you. And we sent a text today to Miss Shirley to let them know that. So, and he was here with his family Sunday morning. And so that's good. All right. Brother Harold Dolph, Don and Carla Rich. Are they back in Peru? Oh, okay. February the 8th. Okay. I saw that they joined us on Sunday morning. They were snowed out up there. And so that was neat to have them by way of Facebook again, had its finest moment, bringing us all together. But let's remember them as they're still in the States, but we'll be heading out soon. Bobby and Nancy McClendon, they're going out of town tomorrow. Richard Martin, I've tried to contact him. I'll try again to contact him. As you know, he came from Floyd Road. He joined with us, having been gone from Floyd Road for a while. And kind of just disappeared. He's at home, last time we heard, but well, let's remember him. And just so you know, so you don't wonder, I got word this week that Noelle Sparks, the newest that joined, she felt led to go back to New Genesis. And check out the reason. And I'm not making, I would never make fun of anything in church, of anybody doing anything, trying to follow the Lord. But she said it was a message I preached. And I never intend to preach a message that will send people away. It was let the weak say I'm strong. And I brought it back to Elijah when Elijah ran from Jezebel after all the extraordinary events that happened that he was involved with. And I mentioned this. I said that he should have stayed. He had all the faith and reason to believe that God will give him the victory over this one woman, but he left. And so there was a reason why she left, and it was over a particular person, and she felt like God wanted her to go back and be restored. So you pray for Miss Noel, and stuff like that happens all the time in churches, and we get excited, the wrong kind of excitement, and then we leave. And it's almost like relationships when you're dating. You know, somebody, you break up and then you go get a rebound somewhere. And then you come to your senses and you know you should have just, you know, went back to begin with. I hate to put it that way, but that's really what it's a lot like. But no disrespect at all. We understand. I told her that we're thrilled that she has that assurance that that's where she needs to be. We always hate it, though, when we have to let someone go, but it is refreshing to know that she heard from the Lord, and that's where she needs to be. So, anyway, that's while I'm on that subject, that's what I wanted to mention. Okay, the Bendys over in Alabama, Randy and Diane Ely, the Daleys and Ashworth, the Watkins, Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy, and Jenny Clayton, the shut-ins, and those serving in the military. Does anybody have anything they want to add or give praise for?
Tracy, I thought Tracy Reese, we need to pray for her. She's having a really hard time with
God. Yeah. Tried to reach out to her. I was wondering what was going on.
She can't come out.
Yeah. Sure. Her mom, Dot. Anyone else? Randy Maddox and Spencer are homesick tonight with fevers. At least Randy is. Remember him. And Lily's at home too. She started feeling bad on Sunday. She missed Monday and Tuesday at school. Checked her out at noon today. Just continual headaches. continual headaches. And just body fatigue and all that. I gave her a COVID test, and she's negative on that. So, but let's remember all these who are sick. Anybody else? Okay. We'll remember him. That's all right. That's all right. We'll definitely remember him tonight, Dawn's friend. Anyone else before we pray? Okay. Okay. Let's remember Miss Cassie. Anyone else? All right. That's all we have. We will have a time of prayer together, and then Brother Jeff will bring us a song, and we'll bring the thought for tonight.
Everyone in here has heard this song. Might have been a while. And I'm going to let y'all guess what it is.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. I like the part, you feel a little prayer wheel turning, you know a little fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus, make me whole. That's good. That makes you feel the Holy Ghost, don't it? Good stuff. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you for that. at prayer will turn. I think about one of those mills with water mill or whatnot turning. And sometimes because of that song, I actually envision when I'm praying. And you know when all the stuff leaves your mind and you're clear and you're able to stay a while and you're hooked up. And I just imagine that wheel turning and moving that water along. What a blessing. That is a blessing tonight. Thank you, thank you. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 this evening for a few moments. Philippians 4. And I want to read verse number 11 down through verse number 13. What does it take to get to a place of being content? What does it take? What would be the cost of that? Well, a lot of people wrestle with contentment, even God's people. And I'm going to be honest, I wrestle with it myself. And sometimes there are things we go through that challenge our contentment. Sometimes it's hard being content when you're coming out of a knee surgery and you're going back and forth to a therapy, or you're trying to raise a teenager and you're trying to make things work. And, you know, not lose your cool in the process and maintain your step. There is a cost of contentment, or a cost to be content. And tonight, that's what I want to look at. I want to look at the cost of contentment, or learning how to be content. I think that'll be a good Wednesday night lesson for us tonight. So let's begin reading in verse number 11. And the Bible says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Again, the lesson tonight is the cost of contentment. A little background information here. The book of Philippians was written by Paul from Rome while in prison, most believe and hold to. Also, Epaphroditus in verse number 18. Is the one who was the mailman here, is believed to have delivered this letter back to the Philippians. We say that because he brought to Paul some things that were sent from them. He was the mailman, the delivery boy. Verse 18, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And so our chapter here, chapter number 4 tonight, is the closing chapter, of course, in the book, in this book, the book of Philippians. And Paul, in so many words, is saying thank you for communicating to his needs. If you notice back up in verse number 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." That word flourish means to flourish like a flower in spring. Your care hath flourished again. Your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And so there was a time where the people there at the Philippian believers had not opportunity to give to Paul. They didn't have a messenger. They had no one to communicate to his needs. And so they found opportunity, and they did that. And this is Paul saying thank you for communicating to his needs. It needs to be said, though, in this last chapter, that Paul wasn't storing up their gifts or things for him, all for himself. But he was trying to accomplish God's will for his life as a missionary. Verse 16 says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So he was in need of things so that he could continue his work as a missionary. So they weren't necessarily for him per se, for leisure, for so he could just relax, you know, and have a bite, take a nap, go to sleep, let time pass. But it was for him to have a bite, take a nap, get up, and continue his work. Now, I want to call your attention again to verse number 11, down through verse number 13, because Paul here talks about in between times when there was a need and he needed relief, how that he learned in whatsoever condition he was in, he learned how to be content with his circumstances and to find that balance in life. And so let's look at this tonight for a few moments, the cost of contentment from Paul's point of view. But first, let me give you a little short story here about contentment. Bob, the husband, came home from supper one night and said, "Jane, I have a great idea, and I want to go into business for myself." And so Jane had some money put up away and was anticipating just the thing. And so she gave him all that she had. As they sat at the dinner table and ate, they discussed enthusiastically the future. And Bob said, "Honey, one day we'll be eating off golden plates." And Jane looked at him and replied, "Bob, darling, will the food taste any better?" And so basically, contentment, food's going to taste the same, whether it's golden plates or paper plates from Dixie. Doesn't matter. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." All right, just a short little illustrative story there about contentment. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 11, the skill developed. The skill that Paul developed. Paul learned contentment. And let me say this before we read the verse. Paul learned contentment because he was human. He was a human being. He wanted and he needed. There were times of Paul being impatient. Paul himself had to learn patience, or we wouldn't have these verses given to us tonight. And so this was a skill developed. He learned contentment. Look in verse number 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want." So he's saying here, what I'm about to tell you, I'm not telling you this because I want something from you. I'm telling you this as part of my testimony. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So he's saying, I'm not telling you that I went through these times of being in need. I'm not telling you that now because I needed something, but I'm just telling you something, a skill that God allowed me to learn. He allowed me to learn how to be content. It's funny, years ago when I first read this verse and looked into it, 20 years ago, by the time I got saved, a good friend of mine just got saved, and he came to me one day and said, "Brother Justin," he said, "I met this girl and I'm moving to Alabama." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I, for some reason, this verse popped in my mind. I said, "Well, you know, the Bible says, whatsoever state you're in, to be content." And, you know, just the Lord just dropped a little bit of humor / scripture on him. And so, but anyway, he moved on to Alabama. And, but really, Paul is saying here, not that I'm in respect of one. I'm not telling you that I need something or trying to slide in under the radar that, hey, I need something. I'm just telling you what God taught me. He says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, the word learned here, it means to increase in one's knowledge. It means to understand. It means to practice. The word state, it means circumstance. It goes without saying, really. And the word content here, he says, and I know, or he says, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The word content means content with one's lot, though the slenderest. Content with one's lot, though the slenderest. It also means self-complacent or satisfied. So Paul is saying there is a skill set that I learned while living for Jesus, and that is that there were times where I was in situations that were unpleasant, and I just had to practice personal satisfaction in the circumstance. I knew the circumstances weren't going to change immediately, and so I had to practice self-complacency or self-satisfaction. I had to practice being content with my lot, though the slenderest, in certain circumstances. Now, has anybody in here been in a situation, I know you have, where the circumstance, the state that you were in, was unpleasant? You wanted it to change, you asked God for it to change, and it did not change. The only thing that could change was our attitude and mindset about the circumstance. God, I know you're God. I know you're in control. Not only do I know that you are God and you can change things, but Lord, at the right time, you will change it. I'm tired of being anxious. I'm tired of being stressed out. Lord, I just give you all of this right now. Come what may, I trust you. And when you have fully moved that off of your chest onto Him, what happens? There's a sense of peace, isn't there? You have learned contentment. But it wasn't in the best of circumstances. It wasn't when all the bills were paid and you had two great services on Sunday and your week is going great. No rain, no cold weather, nothing but sunny skies, and your car's running great. The washing machine and dryer is running great. Everything's running great. The dog is doing good. He don't need to go to the vet for any crazy shots, which I had to do this week. Everything is running great. That's not when you learn contentment. You learn contentment when you feel like you are locked up and the key is thrown away. That's when you learn contentment. And so we see that Paul says that, for I have learned. He says, I have increased in my knowledge. I have understood how I have increased in knowledge in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content or satisfied. Now, that has to be a skill learned, because I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians. Paul talking about he was out in the deep for a day and a night, something like that. Now, how you get content out there, I don't know. I've watched, I know Brother Jeff has watched, some Discovery Channel shark episodes of some kind, maybe Brother Don and some others, but I know I have. And I seen this one show one time, I think it was called I Shouldn't Be Alive, and a guy floated in an ice box out in the deep that was thrown off of a ship for like 7 days. And he was finally rescued. He opened that lid and there was a boat coming by. I'm glad he opened the lid when he did. Can you think about if you were him in an ice box out in the deep blue sea? Open up that thing and you see great whites swimming by. At nighttime, you open up that ice box and you see a huge glow-in-the-dark sea turtle with a huge head snapping at you. We seen that when we went deep sea fishing one night in Panama City a couple years ago. What was 30 miles off at midnight off the shore of Panama City. And I knew, I said, oh, Lord Jesus, something happens to us, we're gone. And I looked out, CJ and the boys were with me. I looked out, and there was this huge turtle, I mean, big as a Volkswagen. And it seemed like it was glowing in the dark, has a big old snout. And I just, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I mean, I was having fun, I was fishing, but the human side of me was trying to find contentment on that boat. And so what did I do? I went inside and ordered a couple hamburgers. I found contentment on that boat. And it took a couple of hamburgers and a Coke. But the guy in the icebox, he had to have found contentment some way and somehow in order to make it through that. And so Paul, same thing with him. Other things, you know, just, and he says it in verse number 12, which we're about to get into, but being hungry, being found, you know, naked and all these things, and pearl and in battles with his own countrymen, things like that. Just finding contentment is hard to do. And so it's a skill that's developed. And so many times that's what the Lord does. He allows our patience to be stretched. And that's what James says in James chapter number 1. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, or let patience have a perfect work, is what it says. It says, let patience have a perfect work. And so there's times where we just have to let patience go and let patience do what she's going to do, and that is develop a skill within us if we let her. All right, and so we see the skill developed here, and that is he learned contentment. Again, the word learned means increase in one's knowledge. It means to understand or to practice. The word state means circumstance. And the word content means content with one's lot, though the slenderest. Notice the second point in verse number 12. Not only the skill developed, or the skill Paul developed, but the struggle it took. He says in verse number 12, I know both how to be abased or humbled or brought low. And I know how to abound or excel. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed, key word there, instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So he says here, the word both is used three times here. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so there is polar opposites in each one. Abased, abound. Full, hungry. Abound, suffer need. Polar opposites. And then there's the word instructed. It's what we've been saying so far. The word instructed means to teach and or to be taught. And so Paul is literally saying that God is teaching me. He is instructing me how to be satisfied, how to be content when things are bad and when things are good. He says, I know both how to be abased or humbled or brought low. He says, I know how to deal with life when I'm brought low because I've been there and I've done that. And because of that, I appreciate the good times in life when things are different and I'm abounding and life is excelling. Everything at home is going well. But over here, everything at home is going bad. He says, I've been there and I learned that and it was painful, but I learned it and I appreciate this. He said that three different times. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. I am taught both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, some people know how to handle life when it's at its worst, but they don't know how to handle life when it's at its best. God can trust some people in the valley, but they can't trust them on the mountain because they're nowhere around. You know, they're out of God's house when things are going well. God's name is not on their lips when things are going well, but when they're in the valley, They're in God's house. His name's on their lips. God can trust some in the valley, but they can't trust. He can't trust them when they're on the mountain. He can trust some when they're on the mountain. Everything is going well. But then when the bottom falls out, they're nowhere to be found. And so what God is doing is He is giving us all experience in the valley and the mountain. And that's what Paul is saying. I believe I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. I am taught both to be full and to be hungry. I am taught how to appreciate being full. I am taught how to deal with being hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I am taught how to appreciate times of abounding in life. Also, I know how to deal with times where I'm in need. And so there's a cost to contentment tonight. You go through a lot and you learn some things. You learn how to deal with life at its worst and then life at its best. And in God, the whole while is teaching us, be content there, be content there. And so there's a skill that's developed, but then there's the struggle it took. Paul said that he had to be instructed. He said, there was times where I was impatient. There was times where I struggled, but I learned. He said, I learned. My knowledge has increased. I understand now by practicing what it takes to be satisfied during circumstances that aren't pleasant and the times that are pleasant. So we see the struggle it took in verse number 12. And then lastly, we see verse number 13, the strength Paul received, or the strength received. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So what does that really mean when Paul says, I know both how to be abased, when he was humbled, when he was made low, maybe even poverty? What does that mean, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me? How did Paul appropriate that to his lowly times? Well, number one, he knew he was saved. He knew he was called by God to salvation. He knew that he was an apostle, and he knew that God was faithful, and he knew that God would provide, so there must be some lesson. Therefore, I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me when times are bad. And then, even when times are good, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me when I'm abounding. I can resist the ego. I can resist being proud. I can resist saying, I did this, and it's all because of me. And then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, with everything in between those two statements. From the floor to the ceiling, Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He gives me the strength to do what he wants me to do. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. By Christ's help, Paul could be content in any situation. Paul learned, no matter the external uneasiness, he had an internal empowerment. And again, he ends the chapter by just giving words of praise to the people of Philippi here in the book of Philippians. And so we see the strength received, again, the struggle it took, and the skill developed. And again, the lesson tonight is simply the cost of contentment. And so I ask again the question, how do you find contentment? How do you get there to be content? Well, most of the time there's a cost that's involved, and it's a lesson to be learned, and eventually we get there. Think about David. In conclusion, I think about David, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How do you get to that place? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's something learned. I mean, you know he's your shepherd. You know he provides. But sometimes we have to learn that he's all we need. And sometimes when there's nothing else to be had, Jesus is there, and you then realize he's all you need. What's the saying go? I'm trying to think of it. You'll never understand that Jesus is all you need until he's all you've got. And so many times that's how contentment is learned. I wish we can just read it and say, I learned it. But a lot of times it's reading and living is how we learn contentment. The cost of contentment. Just a little lesson tonight. Hope it was a help. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the thing that you put on my heart for tonight's lesson, the cost of contentment. And Lord, just a little bit of something tonight to get us to think, to mull over, to chew on. Sometimes we forget that Bible men were men just like us. And Father, if Paul had learned contentment, I know we do. And so it makes perfect sense what's going on in our lives. Let us be parents who are content, grandparents who are content, individuals who are content. Let us, Lord, just find our contentment in you and get to that place where we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, be in want, or want anything. Let that be us, Lord, tonight. We love you, and we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anything to mention before we dismiss? Okay, just want to encourage you that Jubilee is right around the corner. We're going through February 1st to get there, the month of February. And what time again is the
no.
Yeah.
1 o'clock,
Saturday, February 4th. And so, anyway, let me mention this. This Sunday is Youth Sunday. Brother Brian will be preaching this Sunday a.m. And then Sunday night we'll be downstairs having our Sunday night fellowship with some goodies down there. And CJ will be speaking for us then. So remember that. All right? Okay, you're dismissed. Have a blessed night.